certain devices to entrap Christians into sin, to bring down great men of this world, to precious remedies against Satan's devices, to hinder Christians in doing their godly duties. And that's what I want to address tonight. One of these devices or traps or snares that Satan sets to hinder Christians from doing their Christian duty. We're going to read a few verses from Exodus 22 and verse 29. Three verses there finishes that chapter, and then the next two verses of Exodus 23 as well. So Exodus 22 verse 29, emphasizing verse 2 of chapter 23. 22, the last three verses in the chapter. Thou shalt not delay to offer the first of thy ripe fruits and of thy liquors. The firstborn of thy sons shalt thou give unto me. Likewise shalt thou do with thine oxen and with thy sheep. 7 days it shall be with his dam, and on the eighth thou shalt give it me. And ye shall be holy men unto me. Neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts of the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs. Thou shalt not raise a false report. Put not thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. Amen. God will bless his word. I want to emphasize the phrase at verse 2 of chapter 23. Thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Satan has devices to keep Christians from their holy duties, as the Puritans called Christian duty. Holy duties are practical things that the Bible tells the believer to do. When we do our holy duties, it leads to holiness of life. It leads to spiritual growth and maturity instead of babyishness, childishness and immaturity, as is seen in some people in the Congregational Union of Ireland. Did I really say that? Sorry. Now, as the spiritual temperature in churches in the United Kingdom plummets, it is evident that immaturity in knowledge, lack of knowledge of Scripture, immaturity in behaviour, and neglect of holy duties has come to the fore. It is therefore a very applicable subject. Satan is using this trap that I'm going to tell you off in a minute to devastating effect, to keep Christian people from doing what God says they should do after they're saved according to the Scriptures. So the device of Satan, or the trap of Satan, or the snare of Satan, these words are all used in the Bible, to keep Christians from their biblical duties is this. Don't worry too much about reading your Bible. Don't worry too much about praying. Don't worry too much about going to church or joining a church. Don't worry too much about obeying the Bible. Just look at the majority of people. What they do. Most people don't bother with those things. Christian duties and all that. Reading the Bible. Most people don't bother with those things. Most people walk. They live in following the ways of their own heart. They do what they want to do. Look at the honourable. Look at the rich. Look at the learned of this world. They don't trouble themselves about obeying God. Yet they get on well in life. Just do what the rest do. Stick with the majority. They must be right. After all, the majority couldn't be wrong. Don't stick out like a Puritan. Don't be different. Even to churches, Satan says, don't worry about following the Bible. Don't worry about disciplining sin in your church. Don't worry about using worldly techniques in worship. Don't worry about worldly methods and then calling an evangelist. Don't worry about any of that. Don't look to the Bible for your as your guide to faith and practice. Just look at what the majority of churches do. They aren't guided by the scripture. Anything goes in the majority of churches. Just follow the majority. It's common to hear in the year 2011, but everybody's doing it, isn't it? Prince Charles, I think, made a comment not so long ago about his son's immorality, and it was just really, you're living in the year 2011. And I'm not quoting him, I'm paraphrasing the general attitude. And everybody's doing it. The majority. Follow the majority. Don't worry about obeying God. Just do what everybody else does. That, says Thomas Brooks, the Puritan, is the snare of Satan. God says, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Do not follow the majority in sin. So what does Thomas Brooks say the remedies to this snare, this trap of Satan are? Satan says, follow the majority. Don't do what everyone else does, he uses, to hinder Christians in doing their godly duty. Just follow the majority. Thomas Brooks says, remedy number one to keep you from getting caught in this trap is this. Number one, consider the scriptures that tell us not to follow the examples of sinful men. Exodus 23 verse 2. You shall not follow the multitude to do evil. When the multitude, when the most people are going in the way of evil, you will not follow them. Just because everyone else is doing it doesn't mean you should. You shall not follow the multitude to do evil. Ephesians 5:11. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Proverbs 4:14. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Don't go in the way of the majority. Proverbs 9:6. Forsake the foolish and live. Go in the way of understanding. Separate. Don't go in the way of the majority. Forsake the foolish. Live. Go in the way of understanding. Thomas Brooks, the Puritan. The multitude generally are ignorant and know not the way of the Lord. Therefore, they speak evil of that they know not. End of quote. So do not follow the majority. Forsake the majority that do evil or that do sin. A lovely example of, well, I didn't say lovely, but another example of this is Psalm 73. I'm going to read the first 21 verses of Psalm 73 because it all emphasizes this same thing. Let me read from verse 1 in Psalm 73. Bearing in mind God saying, you shall not follow a multitude to do evil. The psalmist says, truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish, when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride compasseth. That means pride surrounds them like a belt. They are surrounded about with pride. They encompass them about as with a chain. Violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than their heart could wish. The wicked. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They have set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, says the psalmist, I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places, thou castest them down to destruction. How they are brought to desolation as in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one waketh, so, Lord, when thou wakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. And he goes on to say he was foolish for thinking and envying the wicked. The majority that prosper in the world are wicked people, and they are going to hell. And that's why God says, do not run with the majority, with the multitude, to do evil. The majority that prosper in the world are the wicked that are going to hell. Therefore, they are not our role model. They are not to be a subject for us to envy. And as for churches, don't do what the majority do, even in the visible church. Because there is a broad gate of conversion that is spoken of in Matthew chapter 7. The broad gate and the broad way and the narrow gate. And the narrow way has nothing to do with pagan religion and Christianity. The broad gate, the gate is symbolic in the parable of conversion. So there's a false broad idea of Christianity. There's a false conversion. If you want to know more on this, listen to Al Martin's sermon audio. He has 6 or 7 sermons on it, each over an hour. The broad gate, Lloyd Jones says the same, by the way. The broad gate in Matthew 7 is broad, easy conversion that leads onto a wide 6-lane motorway where you don't have to watch your step in Christian life. You can just walk and do whatever you want. False conversion. And then there's a narrow gate that leads to a narrow way, which is the gate of true conversion. So don't do what the majority do, even in the visible church, because there's a broad gate of conversion and a broad way of the professed Christian life. But it goes to destruction, and Jesus says there are many on it. Many. And if the majority of churches are not doing their holy duties, that the Bible says, they're not obeying the Bible, then the majority of churches are sinning. And they are not the role model for God's people. And the majority of churches are blatantly disobedient to the Bible in many areas. We do not follow them. So when Satan says, well, Christian, don't worry about your holy duties, just follow the majority. That's what he says in our society very strongly. Go with the flow. Stick with the crowd. Fashion's all about that. You want to look as if you're in. You don't want to stick out. Go with the majority. You want to be in. Just follow the majority. Do what everybody else does. You remember that the scripture tells us not to follow the examples of sinners. Not to follow the majority who transgress the ways of God. Second remedy, says Thomas Brooks. When Satan says, Don't worry about your Christian duties. Just go with the majority. Remember that if you sin with the majority, you will suffer with the majority. If you disobey with all the others, you will be punished with all the others. Thomas Brooks. They that walk with the most shall perish with the most. They that do as the most shall ere long suffer with the most. They that live as the most must die with the most, and to hell with the most. You've heard of Seneca, a philosopher and a historian from church history. I'm not sure if it's the Greek one it's talking about or the Roman, it doesn't matter. He says this, he wasn't even saved, by the way. The way to hell is broad and well beaten. The way to be undone forever is to do as most do. The multitude is the weakest and worst argument. I'm doing it because everyone else is doing it. The weakest and worst argument. There is no safety in numbers with God. Oh, everybody's doing it. Totally irrelevant. Just because the majority disobey God doesn't mean it is safe for us to disobey with the majority. Because the Bible plainly tells us that even whole nations that forget God will be cast into hell. Psalm 9 verse 17 and Matthew 25. All the nations will stand before Jesus Christ and they will be told, I never knew you. And the last verse is the saddest of all. Of all the people that didn't know nor love Christ, then they went away. They go away into everlasting destruction. The majority. That's the majority from the nations. So, if you accept the majority opinion of the United Kingdom of male-female roles, if you accept the majority opinion of the United Kingdom of sexual ethics, if you accept the majority opinion on sodomy and any other of the blatant ugly sins that we see in our society, all nations that forget God will be cast into hell. There's no safety in numbers. There are many that call on Jesus as Lord. But Jesus says, I do not know you, many. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Even those that call on the name of the Lord. Don't sin with the majority, or you will suffer with the majority. There is no safety in numbers. This is how the Puritans preached. This is his outline. I'm not preaching his words. This is a Puritan outline. This is how they preach. There is no safety in numbers. Satan says, don't worry about your Christian duty. How subtle he is. He comes in. Just look at what everyone else is doing. Times have changed now. We're in the year 2011. Don't fall for it. If you sin with the most, you will be punished. And so will I. It's not just you and me, it's us. Thirdly, the third remedy Thomas Brooks gives, and he gives far more than this, I'm not preaching all this outline. When Satan says, go with the majority, just consider the worth of your immortal soul. The loss of it is incomparable. Let me give you another quote. Thomas Brooks. Is it madness and folly in a man to kill himself for company, to be with the majority? And is it not greater madness and folly to break the neck of thy soul and to damn it for company? suspect that way wherein thou seest multitudes to walk, the multitude being a stream that thou must row hard against, or thou wilt be carried into that gulf out of which angels cannot deliver thee. Is it not better to walk in a straight way alone than to wander into crooked ways with company? Surely it is better to go to heaven alone than to hell with company. Your soul is worth more than everybody's doing it. So I conclude. Satan's snare. Don't worry about your holy duties. Don't worry about what the Bible tells you to do, believer. Just look at the majority of people. They don't do those duties and they're quite happy. They're living it up. They have the good life. Just do what the rest do. Stick with the majority. After all, the majority must be right. What a foolish mentality. The remedies. Consider the scriptures that tell us not to follow the examples of sinful men. Remember that if you sin with the majority, you will be punished with the majority. And consider the worth of your immortal soul. It's worth more than everybody is doing it. If the majority of people, whether they're outside or inside the visible church of the United Kingdom, do not agree with and do what God's word says, then the majority of people are just simply wrong. People do not determine right and wrong. God does. The majority of people's opinion as to what is right and wrong is irrelevant. It's not a democracy. When it comes to right and wrong with God, God decides right and wrong. It makes no difference that our parliament says sodomy is fine. It makes no difference at all that they give out pills to 13-year-old girls without their parents' knowledge. It makes no difference at all what the majority says. God determines right and wrong, not the majority. The excuse, so everybody's doing it now, is an argument, really, that only the mentally deficient use. Everybody is doing it. So what? So what? The majority opinion of people is irrelevant. God is the only majority. So, don't neglect. I speak to myself and you, let us not neglect our holy duties just because most professed Christians do. Most professed Christians. And I really believe this. Most professed Christians are going to hell because their lack of holy duties, the absence of fruit, proves biblically that they were not Christians at all, but liars. The Apostle of Love says that. John. John says that in 1 John 2, verse 4. Listen. He that saith, I know him. I know Christ, it's talking about. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. He that saith, I know him, the majority of professed Christians, I know him. He that saith, I know him, the majority of professed Christians, and keepeth not his commandments, the majority of professed Christians, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. It's important that we do our holy duties and that we do not follow the crowd. Do we dare to be a Daniel? Are we willing to walk alone? Are we willing to separate from the majority and be outside the camp, as it were? I've told you, perhaps before, not all of you, and I tell it just merely for by way of illustration. In the London City Mission, we were all going out one night. Young people, all evangelists on the 1-year course. And we were all going out one night to a cafe or something like that, I can't remember. There was 30 in the team, 30 weren't going, there was probably only about 15 were going, walking along the footpath, and one of the evangelists made a joke, and he wouldn't hold his girlfriend's hand. This is in public, coming up to Tower Bridge in London. You know where that is? Bermondsey, Tower Bridge. He wouldn't hold his girlfriend's hand, and people were saying, "Why are you not holding your hand?" Out loud. "Because," shouting, "because I'm gay." Yeah. I turned and left their little group and walked all the way back to the base and stayed on my own, because there's no way I'm walking with that. That's a terrible witness. It's not something to joke about. And I don't say it because I was an irate because I separated. No, no, no. But are we willing? It was a hard thing to do. Are we willing to separate from the majority, even that say they're evangelists, when they do sinful things? Because it's wrong. We do not go with the majority. Spurgeon gives the classic quote for this type of person. "I believe what I believe, and I will believe it, even if I believe it alone, not with the majority." Amen. Thank you.